here's an interesting concept I was thinking of today. It's Mother's Day. My Lisa Jane Tom Play, whom I love with all my heart, she has her faults. I don't tend to bring them up. She doesn't like me to bring it up, so I don't. It's not my place. You know, it's like, oh, you're judging. It's like, you know, and I'm not saying I'm wonderful at that either. I'm not saying I'm a good guy. Christ gets to decide whether we're good or not. Perfectly willing to let him handle that. Let him do that. Christ himself said, why are you calling me good? I do what God says. God is good. And you go, okay. He was down here to do something, and it really wasn't a question of whether he was good or not. Anyway, we were watching Artful on BYU TV about artists, and there was this one lady, she's a block painter. It wasn't her. I was amazed with a block painter. Not that she wasn't a good painter too. But she talked about, she had married very young. It was really hard to know what had estranged her and her mother, because she wasn't extremely specific about it. She had said that she had gotten married very young, and that she had her mother was really big about her going to college. One gets the impression that she wasn't very happy, the mom was, with who she married. She probably wanted her to go to college, meet a college guy, and marry them. But I can't say that because I'm not sure what it was. But apparently, at some point along there, she had really kind of ignored her mother's advice, something, to the point to where she and her mother wouldn't even talk to her for apparently years. And it was like, wow. And I was sitting there going, wow, that mother was so upset because, what, she didn't do it in the right order? She still went and finished up her degree in college. She did it as a young mother. Married, you know, a married person doing all that. And it was like, ooh, you know, many, many women would castigate that mother for not showing love to her daughter as she should have, no matter what happened. I guess I'm talking about that weird unconditional love a little bit, but hopefully not too much. They eventually patched things up, but it was really, you know, the mother, I don't think, had to change. I think the daughter had to really put out the great effort, which I think is correct. Everybody castigates parents these days. It's a favorite thing to do. If your child didn't have a beautiful, glorious, magnificent, fantastic, you know, life, free of therapy, for instance, it's the parents' fault. You know, my parents were terrible. My parents abused me as a child. I don't like the term emotional abuse. I think that is such a horrible thing to pin on anybody. I have to be careful because my mother pinned it on her father. He says, oh, he never physically abuses, but boy, did he emotionally abuse us. And you're going, you know, maybe so, I don't know. I said, but that's like getting federal disability for back pain. You can say it all day long, and all you have to do is get a couple of doctors to say, well, she could have back pain. It could be true. And all of a sudden, you're on disability. You know, you are the victim of something. It's too easy for it to go there. When it's like, well, my father didn't give me all the things I ever asked for. When I said something, he just said, no, we're not going to give that to you. We don't have the money, or even if we do have the money, we don't have to give it to you. And you can claim emotional abuse. They weren't sharing everything they had with me. I have some serious gripes about my oldest child. She's a daughter. Now she claims she's a son, and part of her whole thing about changing transgender stuff is that I had abused her as a child. And I was like, what? Well, I said, you know what? That's all subjective. I can't say. If she says that I abused her, there's, you know, I'm not going to sit there and argue. Says, what I can tell her is that, well, she doesn't have anything to do with me now, so therefore, the abuse stopped. Of course, she can sit there and say, I've been damaged forever. And you're going, you know what? I said, I'm going to be rude. And I'm going to say, none of my other children ever got even close to the kind of perks that you got. Lisa, my wonderful wife, tallied it up once. And you can say, oh, that's a hideous thing for a mother to do. And you go, that's what she did. And you go, I didn't ask her to. I said, she did it herself. And she goes, we paid out about $20,000 bailing that kid out of this, bailing her out of that. She would go deep into debt, and then she would come and ask us to take care of it. Sometimes we would. And we said at some point that we were going to stop doing that. And that I wasn't going to touch her student loan, which was $10,000. I said, I'm not going to pay off your student loan. And it wasn't too long after that conversation that it was pretty much that she started going down this other road. I don't know if they're connected. I have no idea. But just, yeah. And you're going, and now she hates me. And you go, so you took $20,000 of my money, and now you hate me. Ah, I see. And I'm the bad guy. And you go, you know, and you can say I was abusive. You can say, oh, my dad went out dumpster diving. We had to live off dumpster dive food, which was not true. She was a child. She had no idea what was going on. We were buying dented and damaged cans from a guy who sold those at a big discount. It was just a way to save money. We didn't go dumpster diving. And you're going, you know, I don't know what kind of weird thing she cooked up in her head. It was mostly, I think it was mostly just to justify what she was wanting to do. And everybody told her, well, you know, this is going to happen when your parents are abusive. When your father especially is abusive. And you go, oh, well, then that's exactly how I'm going to justify it. My dad abused me. And you're going, I, you know, there is nothing I can say to say that that wasn't so. What I can say is she had a really bad streak of deception. She was totally willing to deceive anybody to accomplish something she wanted to accomplish. But that's neither here nor there. Anyway, because let me tell you, it is definitely people accusing other people of bad parenting because they don't give unconditional love. I would never. One of these women, and I know it's kind of a sign of the times, but it's also, it says, you better be careful. You're doing exactly what people do who their kids are totally out of control and doing crazy stuff and have no guidance is this unconditional love stuff. Be careful, you know. I tell them every night, I kiss them, and they say, I will love you forever. There's nothing you can do that will ever stop me from loving you. And you're going, boy, that's not me. If my kid, it says, and one of my kids has, you know, just totally, you know, says she's gone off her freaking rocker. She's gone off, and she's gone off so bad that she says I'm not her father anymore. She will not acknowledge me as her father ever again. And you go, okay. It says, don't come crawling to me when you need something. And I'm sorry. I think your father and your mother are instrumental in something, in your judgment. I think their statements are taken. And if that statement says, this kid accused me of this and this and this, and I think the basic question is, are you proud of this child? Do you feel blessed that you have this child in your life? And I'm going to say, no. Oh, no, gosh. No, not relative to her. No. No. She caused me much pain and grief and was totally dishonoring of me. And, you know, Christ can always say, well, Nero was a horrible person. There's a good reason why she felt the way she did. And I'm sure that would be taken into account. Says, but, you know, because can I be honest? Christ and what he did was part of getting us to where we show to God that we are we are worthy to become like him, to come into the family business, to be exalted like he is. That's what the whole thing is. That's what the whole thing's about. So that they can be like us and enjoy eternal life like we do. That's what Christ and God say. Now, that was taken out of Scripture, and it was all about just, you know, God's going to make you suffer in hell if you don't behave decently. Didn't really talk about in the expurgated version of the Bible, which is the one we have, about what our larger possibilities are. Anyway, that's what this is all about. And if you had witnesses that said, I was their earthly father, and that person caused me nothing but grief, and at the end of the day, she wouldn't have anything to do with me, why on earth would God say, well, that's okay, I don't have a problem with that. Sure, they're going to treat me better. And you go, wait a minute, this is also the kid that said that she hated God, the God that we were preaching, who made her feel guilty for the things that she shouldn't have been doing. And it's like, yeah, this is, you know, Why would God take on that? Why would God just say, well, if she isn't even willing to be decent to her earthly father, I don't want her around. I'm certainly not going to offer her the really nice stuff. I'm just not going to do it. Why would I be so foolish as to make more pain for myself? That's what Earth life is for, to kind of ferret out who's going to cause me pain and who's not. Well, this person's killed himself. Get in here. Okay. Anyway. That's just, yeah. Why would he do that? And people all think that God is going to be so... is going to paint himself into 1,000 corners with all these people that have proven themselves unworthy, and yet he loves them. Therefore, he's going to say, Earth life would just, I'm just going to act like Earth life didn't happen, and you're wonderful. And it's like, no. That's not the way it's going to be. Can you repent? Can you change? Yeah. It says, but you've only got a period in which to do it. And after that, it's over. You can become a better person, but why bother? You know, and people go, oh, I can't believe you're saying that. And you go, well, once judgment's done, it's done. You know. You cannot file an appeal. You can't do any of that, as far as I'm aware of, or at least you should not get the impression you're going to, because if that's not true, then God ceases to be God. And he's something else. I don't know what he is. But it says you should proceed based on the understanding that it is what you do in life that is going to be the determinant of where you ultimately end up. Because it says right in there, it says, the same spirit that you had on earth will rise with you in the resurrection. And let me tell you, once you're resurrected, you don't change anymore. There is no more changing. You are locked in. I don't know what the difference is. Everybody thinks that we're all going to be flying till into the eternities. It's like, no, we will not be. We will be what we earned. And that's all. Ta-da! So anyway. People often forget that the fifth commandment is, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. Now, I personally make a small alteration there, which is, bring honor to your father and your mother, because that puts the onus on you. Everybody's always saying, well, my parents don't deserve honor, therefore I am exempt from that thing. I get to hate my parents with impunity. And you're going, it has nothing to do with your parents. It has everything to do with you. What do you do? Do you bring honor to your parents? Are you a good person? When somebody comes and you're doing something and somebody comes up to your father or your mother and they go, wow, look at that kid. What do you think of that kid? And your parent goes, that's a great kid. I, you know, that kid has made me, you know, and you can say, oh, don't use the word proud. You go, well, I don't really know, think we have a decent way of not doing that. We need to, you know, now, if your parents come back and go, well, they look good now, but I could tell you some stories about that kid. That's, who cares? Who cares about that? The whole thing is from God's point of view, did your behavior, did what you do, bring honor to your parents? In God's eyes, if it did, you've kept that commandment. If you think you're somehow exempted because your parents weren't beautifully, fantastically perfect, and plenty of people say that, I'm sure he says, you know, they go, well, my mom was so wonderful. I just know how much my mom loved me and took good care of me and did whatever she could for me. And this was interesting because during that Artful show that I was talking about before, that's what that lady said. She goes, you know what? I really had problems with my mom. But once we kind of pulled things together, you know what? From my standpoint, older and seeing it, she didn't talk about her children, which is interesting. I don't know if she ever had children. She finally said, you know what? I had a really good mom. She was really trying to help me. She was really trying. And I was difficult. And you go, you know what? In doing that and saying, you know what, despite all my mom's flaws, and she says, my mom wasn't perfect. And you go, but did she love me? Yes. And did she try to help me? And was she upset for good reason? And she goes, you know what, probably. And you go, okay. And you go, it doesn't mean that you're obedient to your parents. That's not what bringing honor to your parents means. That means that you become the kind of person that any reasonable parent would say, yeah, that's my child. Look, that child right there, that's mine. Isn't it amazing who they are and what they've become? And given the maybe even bad start that we gave them, they overcame and all that. That's bringing honor to your parents. It all has to do with you and your behavior. It has nothing to do with them and how they raised you or anything like that. Now, some people get a fantastic start. Wonderful people who seem to have had it all together. And I think it's really interesting when you look at the differences and you go, well, you're going to have to tell us what about their parenting really made it. And it's not going to be, well, they absolutely refused to spank me, or, you know, they let me do whatever I wanted. You don't hear a lot of that. You hear that child, even when they become adults, they sing the praises of their parents, and you go, you know what? It sure sounds like they were just standard parents. They may have even spanked them once in a while. They may have even, you know, they may have made them sit in the corner quite a bit when they were trying to correct bad behavior or behavior the parents didn't like. Let's go ahead and, you know, whatever. And you go, it's really interesting. It isn't that the family was all that better. It was that child decided that whatever those parents were doing, they weren't going to be jerks about it. You know, we all parent our kids starting in our 20s typically, or at least we used to. I don't know if that's true anymore. And We didn't know anything about how to parent kids. We, you know, if you're smart, you may ask your parents, but that's only if you feel like your parents have done a pretty good job. You know, I don't know. I'm getting off here because this is Highway 3. This is the road to Encino from the interstate, and it's a cool road, and I enjoy it very much. Ooh, it was a detour for a little while, which is tricky because it's a tricky detour because it'll take you heckin' gone from anything. Oh, it's just that much of a detour. After that, it wasn't a detour anymore. Anyway, okay. Oh, no, it's drifting snow next 25 miles. And you're going, wait a minute. It's not that cold up here, is it? Anyway, and see those 26 miles from here. And then after that, I got the real long, about an hour run across on Highway 60 into Bernardo, and then I'm where I need to be. Anyway, so it really has to do with you. That's why I kind of modify that commandment. I hope I'm not in trouble, Father, for having done it. You certainly can honor your father and your mother too, and that's good. You know, but you don't have to wait for them to tell you that you've honored them. I'm quite happy. My dad, who I don't think ever really thought much of me when I was young, certainly, and when I got married, at least I said, I want to marry your son. And it's like, why? And it's like, oh my gosh, thanks, Dad. I don't know really exactly what my criteria is. I certainly don't want to bring it up because, you know, I understand why my dad would say the things that he would about me. You know, I was a weird child. I'm a weird man, to be honest. And he has every right to question and say, couldn't you find somebody better than him? You know. My dad still kind of says that we would probably be, you know, that having this distance during the week probably make our relation work better. Lisa's mom always said that we were way codependent. And I'm not saying that's not true. I think Lisa and I really kind of are codependent. And sometimes I make her crazy. She doesn't make me crazy. Sometimes I think she doesn't appreciate what I do much, but that's a whole nother thing. Anyway, so it's just really interesting because it came back and this woman had really decided that instead of, you know, because her mother wouldn't talk to her. And you're going, I don't think we got the whole story of this problem and the fact that they patched things up. I'm sure she wasn't telling us the whole story, except that for a long time her mother would not speak to her. And apparently it was because of something she had done. I don't know what it is. For all I know, when they said, well, I got married when I was 19, you go, were you pregnant? I just found this out. Now, I don't know if this is bad record keeping, but it appears, given the information we have about my paternal grandparents, my dad's mom and dad, they've gotten pregnant before they got married. And I didn't know that. Nobody ever talked about it. And all of a sudden, I was looking at the things, and I went, wait a minute, oh, wait a minute. And I counted months from when they got married to when they had their first child. And it was not quite 6 months. And it was like, holy free, holies. they got pregnant with this child before they got married. What on earth? And it's like, ooh, the scandal. And so, yeah. It's probably good that I didn't figure that out until now, because I might have asked the question in an unguarded moment when they were still alive and I was younger. I would have said, so what's the deal? Did you guys get pregnant before you got married? And it's like, probably just really didn't bring it up. That first child, and this doesn't mitigate anything particularly, but that first child died, Joseph Robb. He only lived some months before he passed away. It was blamed on SIDS. I don't really know, you know. I don't know if someday we'll get more information about that situation. But it doesn't really matter. Anyway, it's just funny, you know, because you go, you know what? Your parents aren't perfect, but that doesn't mean that you have to castigate them and tell them that they were evil. You know, are we supposed to be forgiving? Yeah. Are we especially forgiving of our parents and of our children? Yes. This is now. That doesn't abdicate your role as a parent. You still need to be a parent. You need to give good advice, and you need to guide them on a good path. At least you need to show them what the good path should be, even if you're not following it. And so, you know, do I, like, for instance, forgive my oldest daughter? Can I tell you? I don't bear a lot of animosity. You know, I don't. I struggle with the ingratitude, and I will bring it up if it comes up. I said, well, you know, you're really deeply ungrateful, and you really said horrible things to me publicly. And it wasn't even said to me. It wasn't said particularly behind my back. But yeah, it was public, and it was like, oh my gosh. And you told stories about me that weren't true. And you can say, well, never, you got a bad memory. And you go, no, my wife says they're not true. And she doesn't have a bad memory like I do. And you go, you know, so that's what I'm going for. Not like I'm pitting my wife against my daughter for their, you know, well, it's a he said, no, it's a she said, between those two. And you go, all I know is my wife doesn't think much of it right now either. What reception she'll get when she comes. I hope that I would be civil. I would love to hug her. I have no indication that she would do anything but go up to my face and spit in it because of the narrative that she has built around my hideous sins, of which I don't think, yes, it brings up the other thing that I really wanted to bring up with, because it was Mother's Day. Anyway, so he brought all this stuff up, and of course, you know, it's like, oh, we were estranged for a long time, and it was every impression that her mother didn't like something that she had done, and they were upset. And it took her a long time to get past that. And I, like I said, you know, I was like, ooh. The thing that kind of came to mind was, oh, did she get pregnant And then there was a shotgun wedding between her and the guy she got pregnant by. She didn't talk much about her husband either. So one gets the impression that she probably, you know, I mean, you just can't say. It could have been that she ultimately divorced him, that she ultimately did this and that, whatever. I don't know how the estrangement got solved or whatever, because it just really wasn't brought up. The only discussion was about her and her mother. And they showed pictures. They were only pictures of her and her mother at various points. And it's like, this is bizarre. Did she have a father? You know, she talked about her husband and getting married to him because they got married really young. And apparently that was part of the problem that her mother had. And it's like, usually it's not just the age that would keep you estranged for years and years and years. It would be something bigger that she really wasn't talking about. And it's like, I think she's being very selective in what she ultimately said the problem was. And she didn't want it to make, she didn't want to look bad. When it's like, well, can I tell you? If you dishonored your mother, then it's not surprising that she wouldn't want to have anything to do with you for a long time. You know, until you get over it. And God isn't sitting there punishing you for not getting over it. There is no commandment that says thou shalt get over the nasty things that your children do to dishonor you, and how quickly you have to be good to them. I mean, there's a little bit about, you know, about your enemies and about how you need to get in the way with them so they don't turn on you and rend you, you know. But again, that's the whole thing. Everybody always tries to apply it to the other person. You have to behave better. God told you have to behave better. No, it has to do with you and how you react to this. You need to patch things up as quickly as possible so that they don't turn and rend you. You need your parents because sometimes they'll bail you out. They'll help you because they have some deep ingrained reason to help you. It's mostly due to familial love. They love their children. Even when their children are jerks, that comes back to that unconditional love thing. It says, but don't let your children screw you over for that. I don't think Christ smiles and pats you on the head and say, oh, poor you. Your child took advantage of you, and you just sat there and you just forked it over. You would say, you're an idiot. And you know, and then you can come back and say, well, what kind of parenting technique did you use, and how come you didn't fix it? Because that's what you should have done. Oh my gosh. Your child's hideous. It's your fault they're hideous. Oh my gosh. You gotta be kidding me. Anyway, so. And I don't want to stay with that unconditional love thing, but I tell you, unconditional love is going to set you up, and your children are more likely to be hideous, more likely to be social pariahs, more likely to bring you great dishonor, and more likely to take a big old wad of feces in their hand and just scrub it in your face and tell you how horrible you are because you didn't just bend over and give them whatever they wanted. Can I be honest? My oldest daughter wanted money. and she wanted us to pay off all of her debts and not to give her and to totally support her as she got more credit cards and went further into debt. Now she can say, that's not true. And you go, well, you know what? That's just the behavior you were already kind of doing. And I can easily see that in your great desire to be exempted from having to deal with life straight on and be a decent human being, that you would say whatever you needed to do to say that you were the victim here, and that the biggest problem was you weren't willing to, you know, it was all our fault because we weren't willing to pay off every single debt you ever incurred. So, and you go, yeah, do I loan money to that child? Heck no. I'm sorry. Even if she turns over a new leaf and she's trying really hard, it's like, I'm sorry, you already burned that bridge. I'm not going to help you. Let's see if we can get this person to go past me. I need to go pee anymore. They were going really fast. I was doing 60. They must have been at least 70. And then when they got up behind me, they just kind of stopped. I'm going to pause here because I got to go to the bathroom. Actually, I'm going to go down this hill. So okay. Whew, I am relieved. Anyway. You're going, never will you sound better. And you go, yeah, I don't know, maybe I am. It says, and is that a problem? And you go, well, you know, you need to forgive her. And you're going, and what's supposed to constitute that? I'm still her parent. She still needs to change quite a bit. What constitutes forgiving her? If she came home, or if she came to see me, I wouldn't get all over her particularly. When my children go, Shana got so many wonderful perks and we never got them. And you go, that's right. That's how it went. And I'm the first one to say, it's my fault. I shouldn't have given her much of that. But I was a new parent. She was my first child. And, you know, says they're kind of the ones you kind of figure things out on. I gave her a car. I never gave any of my other children a vehicle. Never again. And I basically paid for it for her as well. She made payments, and I made a deal. I said, tell you what. I said, you keep paying the insurance on it, and I'll pay off your car, because I was the one who was saying, why am I paying for insurance? That goes on forever and ever and ever and never ends. I said, I need to take the bill that I can pay off, and then I don't have that bill anymore. And I don't know if that upset her, because she was getting a sweeter deal. I don't know if she kept making the payments. I have no idea. Anyway, so... And then after it was all paid off, what did she do? She sold it to her brother for $1,500. And it's like, and no thought toward, wait a minute, I might actually owe my parents a little bit of money because they paid off a good chunk of this. Nope, that wasn't there. And I didn't ask for it, so I wasn't due that. It was just weird. And I don't know if I might have very well told her. I said, you know what? I'm just going to pay for it. It's your car. You can do with it what you wish. Which is, then is fine. But, you know, it's like, well, I was awfully generous to you. One would think, it's kind of like that parable that parable, of the servants, you know, the one that had a large debt that got forgiven by the Lord, and they made the other person pay for their small debt and cast that guy in prison for not paying. And it's like, you know, I said, I was awfully nice to you. I have forgiven you several times over. And, you know, and yet you put the squeeze on your brother that he needed to pay you for this. Now, he was willing to do it, it's fine. You know, and nobody bears animosity. It's just a little sad that you have been the recipient of so much. Why can't you be generous to other people? And they go, well, okay. But yeah, that really was the thing. And I don't really ding her for that one. Or for anything else. It was our choice in all these things to do this. And my wife gets kind of, you know, she was the one that tallied everything up, how much we had paid. And I was going, and that was the thing about this whole Mother's Day, was, wow. And it came up about Heavenly Mother. And I said, so many, I don't mean to be rude, women, so many women get caught up in saying, you know what, I bet you Heavenly Mother is nicer than Heavenly Father, because obviously where Heavenly Father can sometimes come off being a little strong-handed, I'm sure Heavenly Mother would never be like that. You're going, oh, are you sure? And if you listen to these recordings, I might have brought it up a few times, maybe more than a few, I don't know, because I really want people to be a little more conscious of their manufactured idea of a lot of things. You know, that Jesus Christ is this kind and loving, big, muscle-bound, carpenter guy, you know, a big physical laborer. And, you know, and you get this view of him, you know. And I said, wait a minute. I said, we have some references that he may have weighed a lot. Now, muscle weighs a lot, so if he was a real muscular guy, he may very well have weighed a whole lot, and that was why they had to drive nails through his wrists as well as his palms. Now, but I could also say, you know what? Would you be willing to worship and love and be grateful to Jesus Christ if he was fat? F-A-T, fat. And, you know, that makes people go, ugh, you know. And it's like, would you have a problem with that? Would you still adore him? If he didn't look like the practical Adonis that he is usually portrayed as. And, you know, they sit there and they squirm a little bit, and it bugs them, and they go, Jesus can't be fat. That's always what Lisa says. Don't ever say that. Jesus is fat. And you're going, how do you know? It says it gives every indication in the record that they were worried that the typical way of nailing people to the cross wasn't going to be adequate for him. Well, he may have been fat. Okay, now that's neither here nor there. I don't know that, but it's just the whole thing of, would you still worship Christ if he didn't fit your idealized vision of him? here's the other one. Everybody thinks that Heavenly Mother is the perfect mother, which for them is like, oh, she baked cookies and she never raised her voice once. And, you know, she must be so wonderful. And you're going, you know what? She may very well be that hard-nosed wooden spoon, get your butt out there, get to work, kid, type of mother. And you're going, how would you feel about God? And she's part of God. God is the combination of Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother. God, Heavenly Father could not be God without Heavenly Mother. It's just not there. Equally yoked. How would you feel? You could also say this about Heavenly Father himself. We really don't know much about Heavenly Father and his way of being, his manner, from the scriptural record. It's just not there. Everybody says, oh, well, when you look at Jesus Christ, you're looking at Heavenly Father. They are one. And you're going, yeah, but can I be honest? According to the scripture records, Christ isn't all that sweet. Even though people try to make him look that way, I love how people add adverbs and adjectives to Christ that are not in the scriptural record. And like I've said before, I said, I can picture Jesus Christ as a Sicilian and as somebody who cracks walnuts with his bare hands and is a little threatening, you know, like the Godfather, you know, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And you're sitting there going, I don't want to disobey him because, you know, because he could snap me like a twig. And you go, you know, could I slip that kind of vision of what Jesus Christ could be in there and it all still works? Well, no, because the Sicilians aren't very nice. And you go, no, what are you talking about? It says they tend to treat people who work for them and work hard for them. They tend to rain down favors and stuff like that on them. It's like everything's a big loyalty test. And you go, you know what? That sure sounds like Jesus Christ. A lot of what he does sounds like a loyalty test. And it's like, you know, you can't just sit there and say, well, you know, no, Christ could never be like that. And you go, why? Why could he not be like that? Was he kind to people that were bad? Was he kind to people who said nasty things about him? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, for instance, who took him to task on everything, always accused him of profaning the Sabbath day. And he would give it right back to him. He would tell him that they were wicked, that they were evil, they were hypocrites. And you're going, oh my gosh. And you go, no, Jesus would never say that. And you go, have you read the scriptures? Have you read how he taught? And you're going, hey man, he can do any of that. So the whole thing is, so we may try to project some kind of vision on Heavenly Mother, and she may be like, you know, like I tell people when they go, I don't know why my oldest daughter, Shayna, thinks that I was the rough guy. I was the emotionally abusive one, perhaps. I don't know why she said that. She goes, you know what? Honestly, I said, I was kind of a softy when when money was being paid out to take care of her debts or to help her with her rent because she couldn't do it. She had made a mistake, and she couldn't really pay her bills, and her roommate couldn't pay her bills either. And it's like, oh my gosh. It was usually me that was the softy who was kind of coming to bat for her and saying, yeah, I can see that, you know, this is a learning experience for her. Let's go ahead and do that. Lisa, my wonderful wife, Lisa, who I don't want to say anything bad about because she's not a bad person at all. She would be the one that says, no, she needs to learn from these experiences. She was kind of the, you know, if there's a good cop, bad cop sort of thing, I tended to be the good cop and Lisa tended to be the bad cop. Which is hilarious because Shayna pins it all on me. And you're going, I'll tell you why she pins it on me, because that's how the narrative wants to see it. Your dad's abusive, your mother's wonderful. And so she continues to, you know, she would send letters occasionally here in the last few years, you know, saying, I don't know why you stayed with that Jason. She wouldn't even call me her father anymore. He's so horrible. And you're going, Shayna, you have got such a warped memory. And this is from Lisa, too. You know, she was like, I was always the one that was kind of reticent to help her. You were the one that was willing to help her. And I said to myself, just today, I said, what if that's Heavenly Mother? You know, when everybody says, oh, I would rather pray to Heavenly Mother because she's a female and she understands female things that Heavenly Father doesn't. He's all about the guys and straightening them out. And you're going, you might not know your peril, ladies. It says, you may have a Heavenly Mother that is a stickler. You may have a Heavenly Mother that applies the wooden spoon to you as a spirit. You may have that sort of Heavenly Mother, and you should be gosh golly grateful that you have Heavenly Father to deal with, because he might actually be the nice cop, where Heavenly Mother is the one saying, you need to go down there and you need to clean that mess up. And he's going, honey, I'm just not, no, we're gonna give them every chance to pull out of this, to decide that they're going to repent. Oh, you are so wonderful. You are just too nice to them. Elohim, or whatever his title is, separate from her, you know, George, you're just too doting on those kids, George. If it would have been me, we would have solved this 200 years ago. I was upset then. You don't even want to think about how upset I am now about the behavior of these children. And it's like, oh, okay, honey. No, don't worry. It's going to happen. It's okay. All right. I know you're going to do it. It's just that, God, you're letting them get really bad. And you go, well, you know, he says, I'm going to give them plenty of rope to hang themselves with or to use as a lifeline, honey. It's like, okay. And she goes, okay. She says, but I'm going to go someplace else because I'm going to take my attention off of this, because this just makes me angry. You may very well, we may all very well have a Heavenly Mother. I'm not going to get into polygamy and the possibility of different Heavenly Mothers for different people. Let's, you know, it's just, that's not interesting to this particular discussion. but you should preconceive what it's going to be. I've known it hasn't been a few, but I'm sure it's gotten bigger, because it seems like everything that is a little askew and that you probably shouldn't be doing, it's been growing. And there were a lot of women and a lot of, effeminate men who felt like they would get more understanding and more help and more anything, more feedback from a mother than they would get from Heavenly Father. And it's like, you know what? This is, you should question how things are right now. You know, and say, boy, I wish I had somebody else to deal with. Everybody who wants things to be different because they think it would go more their way, that's always the way it is. That's why I always talk about people who strive for exemptions. And I should know about this. I've spent some time going for exemptions. I wanted to be declared autistic officially so that I could get something. I was kind of hoping for SSI to kick in so that I could make $800 a month, like my son did. And that with our two combined things, that would be a pretty decent income for us at the time. It wasn't going to be much. Boy, I got to tell you that. Boy, whew. My wife was not happy with me. And boy, she put me in my place and said, you will not do any such thing. I'm like, okay, all right. Because I don't mess with my wife. I don't mess with her when we're on two sides of the thing. That is a definite agree with your adversary quickly. I don't want to make Lisa my adversary ever. She is not nice. And it's like, oh yeah. And she's usually right. She usually has good reasons for what she's doing. I have never known her to not come up with a very legitimate reason why she is opposing something I want to do or that I've thought about doing. I'm in charge of harebrained schemes. She's in charge of telling me no. And that's a feature of our relationship. It's not the whole thing. But she is really good at saying no. So, you know, I can bring up all kinds of wonderful things to her and she'll say no. And we do it all the time. Just today, Lisa was saying that she didn't feel comfortable with the car she has right now taking temple trips into Albuquerque. Because I keep telling her, so Lisa, you and Sam should come into Albuquerque on Tuesdays, because on Tuesday nights I usually go to the temple here in Albuquerque. And even with the whole idea, I don't think she really likes Sam's driving. Actually, I know she doesn't, but I just couldn't help say it better. And I just did. Oh my gosh. Anyway, she just doesn't. It makes her nervous, so she isn't going to do it. Now that she told me, she goes, I really do would like to go to the temple, but I don't feel comfortable doing it. It's like, okay. You know, this is our chance, Lee. This is wonderful that we can go together. And she's done it occasionally, but not very often. She is really very nervous about her cars. And so I started saying, well, Lee, let's start planning for which car you want next. And I had jumped onto a Kia Soul 2019 vintage, which seems to have a really good record. It's really kind of expensive for being, you know, now 4 or 5 years old. It really depends on the mileage, but the basic price has usually been about $18,000 for this car. Of course, that's when it only has maybe 30 or 40,000 miles on it, and you should feel comfortable putting another 100,000 on it, and it would take her several years to do that, because she doesn't she doesn't wear out her cars as fast as I do. I hope to get to the point to where I'm not wearing them out very much either. Golly. Anyway, so. And yeah, it says, what if Heavenly Mother was more like my kid's mother, Lisa, my wonderful wife? I love her. But let me tell you, do not get on her bad side. It is no fun place to be. And I've been in situations where I had done something that angered her. And she deserved to be angry at me. And it took a long time for her to finally get past it. You know, after I had said, I'm not doing anything like that ever again. Oh my gosh, I am so sorry. Anyway, wow. Regardless, so my advice to almost everybody is don't try to work the system. Don't try to shuffle things around. Number one, you can't do that to God. He's just not going to, he just doesn't do that. He's pretty firm about these things. Jesus Christ is also very firm about his things. Although people bet the bank on the fact that he won't be. That he will have great compassion on you, and that he won't make you keep the commandments. And they're wrong. Those people are wrong. It says don't sit there for a minute and think of that. You know, they all say, well, he's merciful, and you go, no, he is. You didn't have to pay your debt 20 years ago. He has given you a little more time, and he gave you terms that were very doable. Not that God didn't, because usually we're talking about the same person. You know, it says, and that's it. That's the deal. But it's only one. It isn't like, well, can't you give me a better deal? One that means I don't have to really be very obedient at all, and yet you'll treat me as if I were? It's like, guys, you can't do that. And you don't want to try to do that. Too many people play that game. I'm trying to kill some bugs. I've got a couple of mosquitoes in here. Anyway, so that's a very interesting thing that came out of this Mother's Day, was don't play with that. And I think, you know, playing the unconditional love card is another one of those. I don't have to be held to a difficult standard. I don't have to do something because I know Christ loves me. And you're going, the actual requirements didn't change. Everybody thinks that they can go out and petition, scream, go march up and down. Now, you can do that with a lot of institutions. You may be able to do that for the church, too. But let me tell you, the church isn't necessarily the same thing as Jesus Christ, just because he is the titular head of the church. And you say, well, we can put some pressure on the church politically, stuff like that, get them to change their stance about LGBTQ things. We're going to make it so that two guys can be sealed in the temple. And you're going, you know what? I'm not going to say that you can't get it done. I'm not going to say that isn't going to become some kind of possibility. What I will tell you is that Jesus Christ may struggle to to honor this ultimately, because it goes against the basic plan of salvation. Now, that also brings up the fact that it's like, well, the church really isn't going to do it. I don't expect the church to make those kinds of changes, to accommodate somebody who says, I was born a man, but I, or in the church it's going to be, I was born a woman, but now I want to be the man, and you need to make me a priesthood leader, and I need to be the stake president. And you're going, oh, okay, well, I don't know if that's going to fly. I don't think it's going to fly, because I think it really smacks in the face of that. But of course, all of the Protestant churches are buckling as quickly as they possibly can. I don't know exactly why, except just keep more people in their churches and remain relevant. Or just to make it so, you know, it's that unconditional love thing. Jesus accepts everybody exactly the way they are and the way they come. And you're going, that doesn't mean that you can just go off and have sex however you like, and Jesus has to just kiss your forehead and bless your doings that way. He doesn't have to do that. In fact, it seems like he won't. And to strong arm a church, a congregation, into complying with your interesting take on Jesus' love, that's what the biggest scare is. Is that ultimately, if somebody doesn't get what they want, I'm sorry to say it's going to be women in this case, which is very sad. Women are usually more spiritual, but they're also more emotional, which means you can make an emotional appeal to them, and they, a decent number of them will start getting weird about the fact that that doesn't seem loving enough. When you're going, Jesus has standards, and you're telling him that he needs to just get rid of all of his standards, because love is far more important than standards. And you're going, it's getting people to becoming the kind of people that can become like God. There has to be standards there. God has standards. Well, I don't think he should, because that's just unloving. That's hateful. It's hateful to say that that person can't choose their gender. And then you have to respect it completely. It's like, you know, I don't foresee that happening. He says, now, you know what? I've been totally surprised in the past. I don't know. He said, but I said, I think if we choose to go in that direction, if the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints chooses to go in that direction, now it may be that he says, you know what? These are strange things that may not exactly be sins. And how are we supposed to behave about that? And you go, well, I don't know. I have my attitude about it, but I might not have the same attitude that Christ does. If we go off this way, it's going to be the thing of, well, you know, is this what Christ would have us do? And if this church is saying that it's okay, but I don't think Christ thinks it's okay, it's like, well, okay, then we need to let it go. You know, it may be time to leave that church for a different one that isn't like that. It's like, holy moly, I don't know if I'm going there yet, but it may come, who knows? I hope not, I don't want to get caught up in that whole situation. Oh my gosh. That's why I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They've been pretty four square on standing for what I think Christ stands for and wants and desires and has commanded. But it stops being that. It's like, I think we've gone a little off the track. Maybe I'll just, but for right now, I don't feel you need to do that. I think we're okay. We've got all this stuff. Anyway, so, these are tough things, and I know I'm encouraging for it. Oh my gosh, I can't believe he would say these things publicly. And you're going, well, it's not terribly public. Said it's you know, I don't put titles on them. They're just timestamped. They go on my Gopher server, for Pete's sakes. Gopher servers don't typically get indexed. I think they've gotten to the point to where they just don't index. Even if it's HTTP going on, that they don't tend to index those. So I don't think it's going to be really all that easy to get to. But you can get to it. You can get to it with modern stuff. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. Anyway, so, that's about all I have to talk about right here. I'm probably going to do something else. I haven't quite got to Willard yet. And then from there, it's still another, I don't know, 30, 40 miles off to Fargo, the crash site. On a Sunday night, talking about Sunday night things that come to mind. And get a lot of me that way, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.